I quit my other job and went full-time right into it. And I remember the first month my car broke, my dishwasher broke, my refrigerator broke. I was panicking, I was freaking out. And even in the 19 I sold, I think I only made $11,000, but I did it. And that was motivation enough to be like, all right, cool, I can do this. I think everything in my life, I think I'm capable of doing anything. If I want to be a brain surgeon, I can go and do that. Like, that mindset for me has soared into everything that I've done. So I just knew I could do it. And I had an environment finally in my life that was safe and people who really believed in me. And I knew they did. I could trust them. I knew that they had the right intentions. And that completely changed my life. Like, incredibly. Like, this team has, the people here completely changed my life, because I never had that. I never had a safe space of encouragement in a workplace. It was really life-changing.
Growing up amidst the wide open plains of beautiful West Texas, Lubbock was her home for 26 years. Callie was immersed in a world where creativity and tenacity flourished. From a young age, the arts became a vital part of life, leading to a multifaceted career in singing, acting, and photography. For over 20 years, Callie has successfully owned and operated a photography company, capturing moments that tell powerful stories. Above all professional pursuits, Callie considers being a single mother and raising wonderful children as the greatest accomplishment. The love and dedication to family are unwavering, and it is the source of immense pride and joy. In the realm of music, Callie has experienced remarkable opportunities. One of the most memorable was opening for the legendary Merle Haggard and performing alongside Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys. Additionally, Callie worked with a record company and was part of a duet called Neem, where they sang Americana folk and old country music. These experiences not only highlight a vibrant musical career, but also a life enriched by unforgettable moments. As a survivor of emotional and physical abuse, Callie has transformed personal struggles into advocacy, working tirelessly to support nonprofits that rescue women and children from the horrors of sex trafficking. With a deep commitment to being a voice for the voiceless, Callie stands as a beacon of hope, using personal gifts and experiences to uplift others. In addition to the artistic endeavors, Callie has forged a successful career in real estate and photography. With a strong belief in continuous growth, Callie is both a provider and recipient of elite training from some of the top coaches in the nation. This commitment to excellence ensures a thriving professional journey. While life has been anything but easy, Callie embraces both struggles and talent as a means to assist others. With an unyielding spirit and a heart full of compassion, Callie continues to inspire and make a profound impact on the world. In addition to artistic endeavors, Callie has forged a successful career in several business models. Among those businesses, she has made a tremendous impact in the world of real estate as one of East Tennessee's top agents, making it to the top 1% of the nation. Callie's attentiveness to clients' needs, extensive market knowledge, and passion for getting the job done has cultivated a remarkable reputation amongst her peers. I know a little bit about you because we have worked together personally in the past. You helped Carrie and I find our home here in Tennessee, and you've also been able to assist some of our friends.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all too.
So, do you mind sharing a little bit of yourself with some of our listeners and, you know, sort of give them a little bit of a background about yourself and how you ended up finding yourself selling real estate here in Tennessee?
So I'm originally from Lubbock, Texas. I lived there 26 years. Was really divine intervention getting into real estate, but my dad's corporate office moved to Johnson City. And I decided to come along with them, with my kids, and basically just told them, hey, if you can't find property with two houses on it, I'll just stay here. But it was an incredible move. It was hard to leave the status that I had. I had built an incredible life after my divorce and then had to leave that. But I know that the Lord was leading me in a direction that I didn't know what was going to come from it. Getting into real estate was divine intervention. COVID happened, and my brother actually moved from Colorado. My mom was stuck in Dallas. Everything shut down. So my brother moved from Colorado, picked my mom up, picked my nephew and niece up, and everybody lived with me for 6 months during COVID. And so at that point, my brother decided to stay here. And I met Matt, who is the team lead on the Tim Stout Group. And I don't think I would be in real estate if it weren't for the team that I'm on now. And the team has enveloped me in such a safe space to grow and to be part of the community and to serve people in real estate. So that really, that keeps me going. I think that's why I've been as successful as I have been, because of the environment. But I met him. He was my brother's realtor. And then I shadowed him a couple months later because he had posted on Instagram and said he was growing his team. And I said, cool. Well, I don't know anything about it. So can I just come with you? Like, I don't want to spend all this money and time into something that I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. So I would work 6 to 2:30, and then 3:30 to 5, I would shadow him. And I finally made that decision. It was a lot coming into it, but I really felt like the model and the people I was with, that was going to be a good career path for me. And it's turned out to be that way so far.
So there's a couple of things that you shared there that, that resonate with me. And one is that you weren't looking to get into the real estate business. You sort of accidentally got into the real estate business. Is that true?
Absolutely. I think as a kid, I was very into interior design and I always had a servant's heart. So I was homeschooled and a lot of elderly people were on my street in these really, really cool houses. So I go next door and I help them sweep their house. And I just wanted to be in houses all the time. So I think it was always something inside of me that was wanting to do that. I just loved houses, but I never thought in a million years I would be in real estate. So that was just divine intervention with how all of it happened. And with Matt, they actually emailed his old email. So he never checked that email. And he just happened to check it the day that he did. It was crazy. It's still crazy to me.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because we shared that is that I didn't grow up looking to get into real estate. That was not my thing. The other part of it is that the things that we learn in real estate, the things like delayed gratification and you've used the phrase, having a servant's heart, there are so many principles that are time tested to create success in someone's life. Mm-hmm. That I think there's a transfer. I mean, I always make the comment that being in real estate is like a metaphor for life. Is it in order to be successful selling real estate, it's also you have to have the skills to be successful in life. So it sounds like you found that same thing to be true for yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think people understand if you're not in the industry, what exactly it takes to be successful and to stay on top of everything because it's so chaotic. It's a very chaotic industry. And if you do not have the correct mindset, you will drown very quickly.
You had a life before real estate that had a lot of success to it. It sounds like there were some things that were heartaches. And so one of the things that I really want to share with our listeners is how mistakes along the way are part of the journey. I'm wondering if you can think back to, any mistakes or any failures or perceived failures at the time that you experienced, how you grew through them, what you learned from them and how you turned them around.
I think the biggest thing is staying unattached to the outcome. Too many times in our industry, people get commission breath or they're attached to the outcome of what they're going to receive from it. When in reality, this is a transaction between a seller and a buyer. It's between two clients. We are here to navigate. We are here to guide you through that and advise you in the proper way of what we think is the best. And we're going to tell you, no, don't buy that house. But it's, you know, when you get into transactions with people that are focused, like, this is about me, that makes a chaotic experience for everybody. So I think at the beginning, I didn't really have a guide in my life that kept me unattached to things like that or not getting emotional. So I think over time, that emotional detachment was what really drove my success. But at the beginning, that was a very hectic part for me. Just not understanding other people's behavior. I'm like, what is going on? You know, just confusion about the process on the other side of how they were reacting to me trying to help a client. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
That was the biggest thing for me, was you have to stay emotionally unattached, because then if you're emotional, your client's going to match your energy, and then everybody's upset, and that doesn't help anybody at all.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're able to set aside your own personal feelings and the things that are going on, you know, inside of you, and set those aside for your client and try to offer solutions for them, and really being focused in the solution for your client is what it sounds like.
Absolutely. And my coach, David Kesey, always says, find a way. You have to find a way. It doesn't matter. We don't have excuses. We find a way. Because if you can't find a way, it's going to be a way, good or bad, right? But you have to stop and you have to find a way to whatever that resolution is. Regardless, it's a lot. It's a lot putting someone's future in your hands. And to the best way to stay unattached is to say, hey, this is their mortgage. This is their traveling to another place. This is their future. This is their children growing up in that house. We leave that transaction. We leave the table. Great. We got paid. But if you did a disservice to that person, you didn't really win in the end for that. If it was just a selfish act for you to get paid.
I go back and I think back to the experience that Carrie and I had when we were working with you. We were on the West Coast, obviously, and I remember being referred to you by one of your happy clients. One of my friends, Stephen, referred me to you, and I asked him if he had an agent, and he mentioned you, and he said, you got to use her, and he was raving about you. And so our first interview was basically over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember at the time, you know, thinking, you know, it was sort of an interview, but I wanted to share what we were trying to accomplish. You know, do you use Zoom today? And do you remember that first interview that we had? And what was your impression of going through it? Because you work with a lot of people from out of state.
I do. I, for even just for safety reasons, not particularly for you because you're referred and I knew you, but I do prefer to use Zoom if I can't meet that person in person, because almost all of my clients are out of state. A lot of investors, a lot of people that I don't get to meet face to face, and sometimes they buy their house without seeing it, just based off of trusting me for that guidance. So Zoom is a huge part of my business, having those interviews, and I always want to have a face to face. I don't like texting, emailing only. I want that connection with my client, ask the questions, and be able to really understand what they're looking for and how I can guide them into that. So absolutely. And I do remember that. That seems like a lifetime ago.
It does. Yeah, it does in a way. So you're using Zoom to interact with, what would you say the percentage of your clients that you use Zoom to interact with is?
Probably 60%.
Okay. You know, and I wonder how many agents out there, are doing that. You know, how many people are afraid to do that? You know, in my experience with communication, you know, huge on communication is that when you can see the body language, when you can mm-hmm. see the facial expressions, you can, you know, and match that with the tone of voice and everything that's going on there, the, you know, the trust factor. I mean, we make friends with people that we make a connection with. And it's mm-hmm. so much easier to make that connection when you can see the person that you're talking to. So I find that fascinating that you're using that. And you started selling real estate during COVID. Is that when you started?
I got my license the beginning of 2021. So I started school during COVID. And I think I closed 19 in my first 7 months. I dove right into it. I saved $10,000 and I just focused on it. I quit my other job and went full time right into it. And I remember the first month my car broke, my dishwasher broke, my refrigerator broke. I was panicking. I was freaking out. And even in the 19 I sold, I think I only made $11,000, but I did it. And that was motivation enough to be like, all right, cool. I can do this. I think everything in my life, I think I'm capable of doing anything. If I want to be a brain surgeon, I can go and do that. Like that mindset for me has soared into everything that I've done. So I just knew I could do it. And I had an environment finally in my life that was safe and people who really believed in me. And I knew they did. I could trust them. I knew that they had the right intentions. And that completely changed my life. Like, incredibly. Like, this team has, the people here completely changed my life because I never had that. I never had a safe space of encouragement in a workplace. It was really life-changing.
Now, a big thank you to today's show sponsor, Cassie Winterout at M5 Financial. Cassie is a San Diego native and seasoned lender with a diverse background in the mortgage industry. With over 16 years of experience, Cassie is known for her dedication to exceptional client service, earning her the title of the Friendly Lender. She resides in San Diego with her husband, Trevor, their 5-year-old son, Jake, and cat named Bacon. My sales team's clients and my own family members have worked with Cassie and all gave her rave reviews. If you are looking for an extraordinary lender, you can reach her at 858-999-1778. My experience starting in real estate 40 years ago was that it was a very, very an individual sport. Mm-hmm. You know, there were no teams really when I first started selling real estate, and everybody looked at each other, competitors, and everybody did things on their own. And, you know, there was not a lot of collaboration, you know, amongst the agents. There was not a lot of teamwork. Everybody was an individual. And it sounds like you came into real estate never having that experience at all. It's always been, you've been part of something that was supportive from the very beginning.
Absolutely. I would have never, I don't know how anyone does solo, but I've never been in that experience. So it's just my goal as an agent and as someone who's coaching agents is to make sure we identify what your pain point is. The biggest thing that anyone can do is run towards pain, not pleasure. You have to face it. You have to face the pain because that controls you, and anything that you need will control you. And if you can't get past that, it will always be a barrier. So anything that I feel is painful and that's going to control me, I run straight towards it. I face it and then we get past it. And that takes a lot. It takes a lot for your mindset. It takes a lot for your self-worth and how you feel about yourself. And when you look in the mirror, am I worth this? Can I do this? Is this for me? And sometimes it's not. But the fact that people can show up, they did the test, they did the classes, they tried, and it's not a failure. Anything that you do is not a failure. You have a teacher, good or bad. Everybody's your teacher. Every experience is your teacher. And you have to take the good and the bad with everything.
That's awesome. So now you shared sort of how you found yourself in real estate sort of accidentally. You shared a little bit about coming to the Tim Stout Group and how that family has worked really well for you and is very supportive of you. You know, I'd like for you to think back from when you started to where you are today. Can you recognize the milestones of your professional growth along the way? You know, are there stepping stones that you can look back and say, this happened, and then this happened, and then I moved on to this? Can you sort of go, is there a progression of things that you experienced from start to where you are now?
Yeah, and I think Stephen, that experience, how I met Stephen is his brother signed up on my website and was looking at it for sale by owner. And I called him, we set it up, and his brother didn't particularly care for me, but Stephen and Kathy did. So I remember Stephen calling me about a week later, and he basically said that his brother needed to apologize. and then he started utilizing me. But that moment, if I had not picked up the phone, if I had not gone and did this FSBO an hour and a half away, if I had not pushed to every single opportunity, I wouldn't have met you. You know, like those things and the trust that all of you had in me in the beginning, and that was my second year. It was a lot. Like, that was a huge, it's very impactful to know that the work that I'm doing and how I show up was being seen and people were recognizing it. So I think, you know, continuing in the face of no results is a huge thing. In my stepping stones towards this, of course, staying unattached. That's a huge thing. I did get emotional. I remember a client was very unkind to me and I started crying and I came into this room that I'm in and I just didn't understand. I didn't understand how somebody could do that, but I was so used to reacting a specific way because of my past and getting emotional or getting upset. And that learning that skill completely changed the game for me. You just have to stay unattached.
So here's something that I think is really important for me to point out to all of our listeners. One of the things that you said that was just so important is that you did something that most real estate agents would say, that's not worth my time to go work with a client, you know, show up for sale by owner or do something that's not going to pay me, you know, that I'm not going to spend my time on such a low results type of activity. I'm not going to do that. There's a lot of people that say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And we don't realize a lot of times that every time we do something right, that we are going to be rewarded from it somehow, some way. And we often don't know what that reason is. But you picked up on that right away, is that if you do the right thing, you know that you're going to get the results. And now looking back, you can see there's a chain of events where I did something nobody else would do, or nobody else, you know, nobody else reasonably would do, or the average person wouldn't do, but I went and did it and look how it paid, you know, paid off in the future. That's huge. There's so many people that I know in real estate that say, oh, I'm not doing that. That's a waste of my time. Well, anytime you help somebody, you don't know what they're going to do, right? You know, what they're going to say in the future.
Well, in your intentions of doing that, even if you can't help them that day, that's still a connection that you're making. That's still somebody that maybe they know somebody else, but at least you showed up and you took the time to do it, because probably everybody else that he talked to would have not shown him that house, nor did he buy. I don't think he ever bought. I think he stayed where he was. But to show up authentically and to show up with doing your job is all that matters. I mean, and it's not a waste. I tell my agents that are just starting, I'm like, you take every opportunity, even if that person's not buying, you have to experience it. You have to experience these things. This is muscle memory. You have to, this is great practice. This is great practice building rapport. This is great practice asking open-ended questions and making sure that you're identifying these things. So this does become muscle memory, and then you're not uncomfortable because you have to be live inside this situation to actually do it. Role playing these scenarios is great. It helps, but you have to be in front of these people. And sometimes you do have to go drive all day long and learn how to not get your hair pulled by these people.
So the original call, that person didn't buy. I think I have a rough number. Do you have a rough number of how many transactions that you close over the next couple, 2 or 3 years as a result of going that on that hour drive for the person that didn't buy?
I think it's 13 or 14.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, 13 or 14 closed transactions for driving an hour to show somebody that didn't buy. That wasn't very promising. Yeah. That's, you know, that's worth the price of listening to today's message, is that one right there. The other thing that I heard when you were sharing, I mean, everybody that's in sales, you don't even have to be in sales. I mean, everybody has mean people that are into their life. There's a great joke. There's only about 12 really nasty people in the whole world. The problem is they move around a lot. You know, most people are quite kind, but there's, you know, there's these 12 nasty ones that move around a bit. And you seem to have found a way to get past that. Can you share with our listeners the steps that got you to the point to where it rolls off you a lot easier?
I think people in sales are probably the strongest people, because we have rejection all day long. And even whenever I'm calling someone or I'm cold calling, because that's, we don't have a lot of CRM stuff. Everything comes through our website. So it is a cold call every time. Hey, it's me, you know, tonality, all the things that go into it, but they don't know who you are. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, they're going to forget who you are, just like you're going to forget that, you know, your car's extended warranty. Like, whoever's calling you, you're going to forget that that happened. But if you're too attached to that, it's going to freak you out. And you're going to say, oh my God, I can't call anybody else, because they're going to say no and they're going to yell at me. They probably yell at a lot of people. But I think you kind of get a tough exterior, and I already did have one. So anytime that I go through prospecting or somebody's treating me like that, I just say, I've been through worse, you know, with what I've been through, I shouldn't be alive. So anytime that I go through those things, I'm like, I'm alive and I'm safe. So this does not impact me in retrospect of what I've already been through. So that to me is, people are going to be people. And I truly, genuinely do want to help everyone that comes through. And you just have to communicate that and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I just wanted, do you need help? If you don't, I absolutely don't want to bother you, but I know that you signed up and I want to make sure that you're taken care of regardless, because there are people out there that are going to take advantage of them. And when we lose a client because we didn't reach out, they may have a bad experience because of that. And that's because we didn't reach out. Like, just continue to do that. And just have that mindset of, I am genuinely helping and seeking that. You seek that every morning when you get up. Am I going to seek out dead leads, or do I want to seek out buyers and sellers that I can help today? And that will, you will navigate yourself right towards that every time.
Very good. I don't know how much of it is true cold calling, you know, today, you know, because so many people are hiding behind text and other ways to hide basically from us. But, you know, back in the day when I would make cold calls and people would hang up on me, I'd dial the phone right back and continue my script and say, you know, I wanted to, you know, share this important message with you before, you know, we got disconnected. So let me finish. I knew they hung up on me. They knew they hung up on me, but I pretended like they didn't hang up on me and I called them back anyway. So
I still do that.
I find those kinds of things to be fun. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like we got disconnected. I'm sorry. As I was saying.
Yeah, I've had people cuss me out on the phone, and I call them back and say, you know, I know you're not mad at me. You're just angry at the last guy that didn't sell their house. I'm here to help you if I can. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I help you? You know, are you willing to let me help you? And I've actually listed people that hung up on me. So
it
pays to be able to not take rejection personally. So good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. You mentioned a lot about coaching and about your team. Can you share two things? You know, what has the coaching experience been like for you? What does it look like with you working with your coach? And then you mentioned that you're also coaching other people. So then can you transfer into what you're doing and who you're helping?
Yeah. So I remember at the beginning, our coach was only available to one person on the team. And as he grew with our boss, Tim Stout, he offered it to everybody. So every Monday we get to learn with him, but we do training throughout the week. We do training Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So almost every morning, there's an opportunity for people to learn outside of what I'm doing. Mindset and personal training with our coach is really helpful, and he's very transparent with us. I think among other people that he coaches, I think it's a little bit more personal because of the relationship that he has with Tim. But it's a lot of eye-opening things. It's a lot of vulnerability, looking at yourself. I write down something 50 times every morning, afternoon, and night. And the first one was do it now, because I needed to do it. I have ADHD really bad, and I have to do that. I have to do it now. Muscle memory, you train your brain, and you write. We were meant to write. We were not meant to type. So I write it down 50 times in the morning, 50 times in the afternoon, 50 times at night, whatever it is. Do it now is 30 days. And then whatever else it was is 30 days. And I do that consistently to keep my mind on track, because once you do that in your business, your life changes. It goes into everything that you do, and you have to want it. I can't want it for you. I can give you my toolbox. I can give you the resources. I can tell you how it gets done. But if you don't want it enough for yourself, that's the biggest challenge I think we see, and especially in our industry or any self-growth or facing yourself, being vulnerable, apologizing to yourself, being accountable. Those are all things that I constantly have to do, and forgive myself for the things that I allowed to happen in my life, that I allowed people to do to me. But I do keep myself accountable, because at the end of the day, those patterns were my decision as well. I made those decisions to go left or right. Thankfully, it led me here, but everything you experience, you have to take as a gift, and you can't be ungrateful for anything that's happened to you, because every single minuscule seed that I sowed brought me to this table right now. Yeah. And I can't ever be ungrateful for that.
So, I'm hearing that you're taking a lot of responsibility for yourself. There's not a lot of blame there going on. You're taking the responsibility for your choices. Now, you said there's multiple times a week that you are getting coaching or getting direction, and it's mostly mindset. Is it accountability to keep your mindset right, or is it skills?
It's both. Definitely skills, tonality. We have specific talk tracks that open-ended questions. I don't think that's taught a lot to really anyone. If you were in 9-to-5, if you work at Sam's and you're in customer service, you're going to get paid regardless. So you don't really care what you're saying. Like you could stand there for an hour. You have to block schedule. You have it to be efficient and to do this properly and to not lose the leads that are coming in that are being provided. You have to be on top of that. Like our training is very extensive, and I have specific hours during the day where I have my agents write down an email. What do you need? Write down your questions. I'll decide if we need a talk in person, if we need a Zoom call, if we need a screen share, like a phone call, whatever it is. I just need to know what we need to work on today. So I have that established time to be intentional and make sure that I'm moving your needle forward as well. So as long as I can identify that and block schedule into everything that I'm doing to help them grow as well, that's really what the majority of my day is. I block schedule in the morning. I do my prospecting. And then I show in the afternoon, but I also have to get my kids. So there's 2:00 to 4:00 I'm unavailable. And then I show after that, or however my week looks. But specific days are for specific things. So block scheduling, mindset, and skill sets. That's what we really focus on heavily every day, and modify it as we need for each individual.
Well, I don't want to skip over the affirmations that you talked about, writing your affirmations down 50 times. Did you say 3 times a day? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, it's fascinating, you know, being in this business for so long is that you hear about affirmations, you hear about time blocking, you hear about, you know, prospecting, you know, you've used the phrase tonality several times. I think there's a lot of people that are in the sales business that don't even think about the skills of good communication, like having the proper tonality when they talk. So I think it's fascinating that you share that, you know, with your success, and you credit all the reasons for your success to the things that are taught to help people become successful. I mean, mm-hmm. I find that fascinating. The other thing I hear is that you're not sitting in the office waiting for somebody to call you. You sound pretty busy to me.
I think I had 11 appointments last week, just from past clients and just understanding finally the muscle memory and tonality and how to convert people, how to keep them on the phone, how to, you know, align with them, you know, agree, align, ask, agree, align, ask. You agree, you align to what they're saying, and then you ask for whatever it is. And I'm a stranger to all of these people. We're strangers to the people that we're talking to. They don't want to talk to us. It's a vulnerable situation. They're telling us about their finances, what they can afford, that they have debt. Like, it's very vulnerable to be in the situation of buying or selling, in my opinion, especially when it's a stranger, because you don't know that person. You're like, cool. I had a bankruptcy. Going through a divorce. Like, these are things you don't want to tell somebody, right. But that vulnerability builds that relationship that I can only think of, I think, two or three clients that I have not spoken to again, just for personal reasons. But the rest I build rapport with them. I still stay in contact. I went with Kathy and her daughter the other day to coffee because I enjoy being around her and we enjoy each other's company, regardless if it stemmed from real estate. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
That to know that my clients know that and that I am there to protect them both personally and in business is really remarkable to me that we meet strangers that way. And now I've formed this whole tribe that is behind me.
I think I'm a pretty good judge of character after all the time that I've spent with people. Everything that you're sharing about yourself, you know, I look back to that first interview with you on Zoom, and everything that you're saying that you do, I knew that from our interview. So I want to switch to something that's a little bit different. It sort of fits a lot of people out there. Is being a single mom and being in this business and being successful and, you know, and having the goals and the commitments that you do, that's tough. You know, I hear a lot of moms that are in the business, whether they're single moms or not, you know, that struggle. They struggle with being a mom and with being successful in their business. How do you do that? What are the tips that you could share with them that have worked for you? To allow you to be able to juggle all of that and be successful at home and at the office?
Boundaries. I think it's very important, especially if I have an introduction with someone, to let them know what my hours of operation are. And I have to be good to me and I have to be good to my family to be good to my clients. So to have those schedules and of course, hey, if something comes in at 9 o'clock at night and we got to deal with it, we have to deal with it. But the majority of the people that we have to communicate with are title companies, lenders, someone that's open from 9:30 to 5. So I understand we're going to get on that directly in the morning, but I take my kids with me a lot. And I think the mindset that I have learned throughout my career here tremendously helped my children and tremendously helped me as a mom to be able to instill that into them. And they see the work ethic and the actions that I'm taking are leading to success. So I think it's been an eye opener for them. Intentional time with your children, turn off your devices for an hour, even if it's an hour. My son, my oldest is 17 and Ira will be 14 on Thursday. And I try to every evening, well, they fight over me anyways, which is crazy. They probably don't want me to publicly say that, but I mean, I have my shows and my time with Ira, and I have my time with Sean every single night. And we talk about things. I'm like, hey, dude, first of all, I'm not a guy. And I don't know what it's like to be a 17-year-old or a 13-year-old male, nor do I know what it's like to grow up in the generation that you're growing up in. So are you okay? What do we need to talk about? At least I know I've been there, and it gets better. You survive. I'm here. I know it feels like the end of the world, but knowing that your children have you and the support, because even as a baby, that's the only thing we wanted was our parents. You are their forever home. You are their superhero. And to still have that relationship with my kids, especially when I hear about their peers and they don't even talk to their parents, I feel like that has been necessary, because I always wanted to be a mother that built that relationship, and I am their friend, but they also respect me as their mom. But they also know that I care and I listen, and they're being heard and they're valued. So just the time blocking with your children, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to care how many houses you sold. Your kids aren't going to care how much right. an extra $20,000 at the end of the day, when they didn't have you, it doesn't matter to them. And that is the most important, because you have to be good to your family and to give that intentional time to be successful in anything else. Because then at the end of the day, when they move out, you're just going to have guilt. You will have that guilt and the empty nest syndrome of things that you could have changed and things that you could have navigated differently, because they are the number one priority, regardless, even though we're trying to meet these milestones and do those things. But definitely intentional time, block scheduling, and nothing is too important that it can't be dealt with the next day.
Yep. Yeah, that, you know, that first word, boundaries, boy, I mean, we're the ones that get to set our boundaries. So, you know, I mean, when you said that, it was like, nobody ever talks about boundaries. And it is hard. That's one of the best time management things to do, is to be able to set boundaries, which is, you know, this is work time and this is family time, and to keep those things separate as much as possible. I mean, I've seen a lot of families fall apart because of the lack of boundaries, you know, with our business. I've seen people, you know, be in the real estate business, successful or not, and not have much of a life because they never had boundaries where they could, you know, they could have their life outside of it. So that's great. The other part of what you're doing with your business, I think, that helps is that because you have created relationships with your clients that is of trust, it's such a partnership. Once you've made that connection with them, it's a lot easier to get people to work with your boundaries and your schedule once you have that connection. And so, and that's one of the reasons why I think your business is thriving, is you've built that connection that supports those boundaries. So that's pretty cool. Callie, tell me, you know, you are big on social media. I've seen a lot of the things that you're doing, a lot of the videos and the reels and stuff. Can you share what your strategy and what you've learned from working with social media and how you've applied it to your business?
Still done is better than perfect. That I learned the first day I started on social media, which is funny because I used to be in film. I used to act, and I felt insane for talking about something that I didn't know anything about. And that's always been my hardest thing, to not be confident in what I'm talking about. Keep it simple, stupid, and just keep it simple. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a lot. No one's going to watch you for 3 minutes anyways. Nobody wants to hear the whole entire story. Real estate is boring. So my content is real life conversations that I'm having with people, real objections, real stories and experiences of people who are really, they're experiencing that right now. And I've come up with a solution. So that's pretty easy for me to just keep in that mindset. Hey, what, I had that conversation with that buyer yesterday, or I ran into this with an HOA. How do you deal with that? Is it unrestricted? If it's zoned this way, like anything that pertains to an issue that I'm having with a client or a potential client, that's what I'm going to talk about, because I know that that's what people are talking about. Current events, no one's buying, the interest rate's too high, and finding the solution. And just you know, interacting with people. I've had so many leads off of social media just from East Tennessee real estate agent. Unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. If I didn't have a business, I would not be on social media, but I mean, it does connect us. It's crazy how scary technology is, but also how incredibly useful it is, and the connections that we've made with our businesses, with, you know, people we've never met before, with strangers, with people that are advocates for each other. Really, it's about connection and making sure that we are present, top of mind. Because if you go away for 2 weeks, people aren't going to remember who you are. I mean, they might the next time you show up on their For You page, but to be very present, it takes a lot. But you also need to block schedule those things and really build your avatar. That's the biggest thing. Who am I in this business? I am selling myself. So who is that? Who is Callie? What is my goal here? What is my value system? What is the knowledge that I bring? Where is my value to these other people? And to keep that in mind anytime that I do anything has been helpful.
Very good. Well, all of our listeners can find you on your social media that they'll hear at the end of the show today, and they can check out and see what you're doing and learn from what you've shared. So appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I have a couple more things I wanted to ask you. You talked about mindset, and I know there are things that we hear all the time. You know, no one is buying, no one is selling. The interest rates, you know, the interest rates are too high. The market's not going to do this, or we keep hearing from buyers in particular is that the market's going to crash. The market's going to crash. You hear that negativity. I hear that negativity. Everybody that's, you know, in the world, anybody watching the news hears that kind of negativity. Mm-hmm. So what are, you know, your number one and number two go-tos to work on your mindset to make sure that you're not buying into the BS?
Prospecting, description of what that is, you know, a prospector, we're sifting through the dirt. You're not going to be handed a golden ticket. Not everybody's going to buy, not everybody's going to sell, but you have to keep prospecting. You have to sift through the dirt to find that gold. That's what a CRM is. That's what your pond of people is. And I feel like too often people want it handed to them. Like it's a new lead. Oh, wow. This person called my Zillow. That does not mean they're going to buy from you like that. But you do have to be in the mindset of, I have to objection handle this person. I have to see if is this a time waster? Is this someone that needs help with credit? Is this somebody who may not want to sell? Because when I go to a listing appointment, I don't look at the house first. I sit down with the person and say, you know, I am here to sell your house, but I want to know if you need to sell. Like, what is your situation? Why? Where are you going? Why do you need to go there? And those are the questions that I ask buyers too. Do you rent right now? Are you in an inheritance? Like asking those questions and disqualifying somebody is not necessarily no one's buying or selling. You just have to continuously call 25 people a day.
Something that you said, Callie, that just really, I mean, I had never heard it before when you started using the analogy of your prospecting, is that in order to find a little flake of gold, you got to sift through a lot of dirt, you know, and, you know, prospectors don't complain about the dirt when they're prospecting for the gold, they're looking for the gold. And when I talk with salespeople all the time, they're complaining about the dirt. They stop looking for the gold because they're too busy complaining about the dirt. And, you know, and I think that visual is going to stick with me. I think that.
But if you're looking for the dirt, you're going to find dirt. Yeah. Every morning I focus on that. Who do I want to call today? What am I going to find? And it leads me to it. Like I said earlier, if you're looking for failure, if you're looking for people who don't want to buy, who are going to hang up on you, that's probably going to be what your prospecting is for the next 3 hours when you block schedule. That's who you're going to talk to because you're looking for it. Because you're everything that you speak. I'm a huge person. I'm huge on language, what you speak, how you speak to yourself. And if you, let's say you have an analogy of the person that you are meant to care for. You are put in charge of somebody. It doesn't necessarily have to be a child, but you are put on earth to take care of somebody. How do you treat that person? But that person's you, and how you speak to yourself and how you care for others, that's the love you should be giving back to yourself. So at the end of the day, it's, am I worth that? How you're speaking to yourself and what you're putting out there will always come back to you, whether it's good or bad. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I think you heard a little bit, you know, of my story, you know, a little bit earlier. You know, to me, coming into this business, I didn't know anything about sales. I didn't know anything about a lot of things when I started in the business. And I remember hearing about affirmations, and, you know, it was sort of elusive to me. And I thought I didn't use affirmations. And I remember one day I was, you know, sort of making some scrambled eggs. And I dropped the fork in the eggs. And I remember thinking, that was stupid. And in fact, I think I said out loud, that was stupid. And it certainly caught me. It was like, oh my God, that's an affirmation. I'm telling myself I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that realization that my self-talk was designing my future, or it was building me up or tearing me down, is the way that I talk to myself was either going to help me or hurt me. And I think that's the message that you're sharing here.
Absolutely. No negativity. You can't be negative towards yourself. When it pops in your brain, we are in charge of how these thoughts process out. Everything starts in your brain. Everything is built from how you're going to perceive it and how you're going to react to it. Everything's an action and a choice. And I could be negative. I could look at everything that's going on in the world around me and be like, oh, well, yep. Well, there's no good left.
Right.
But then what's the point, right? Like,
right.
We're all here for a purpose, and we woke up today with purpose. And I'm incredibly grateful every morning. I have my limbs. I can speak. I can hear. I can walk. I can talk. And am I... life, somebody else out there wishes they had my life right now, or the opportunity that I'm at right now, because their life has those things or has those challenges. And just to be grateful that I woke up and I have purpose, and I haven't fulfilled my purpose yet. And I get to continue to do that today. That for me is an incredible gift to be alive and be well and to be able to do what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining what is basically, you know, the first interview for season one for Time Tested Mastery. You know, is there any message that you would like to finish up with for our audience today, you know, in their quest to be successful and to live happy, joyous, and free lives? Is there anything you'd like to leave them with?
Done is better than perfect. You can achieve anything that you want to achieve. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others, and everything that's good will come back to you. Take every opportunity and find the good in it. Who you work with matters.
That's your tagline, right?
It is. It's, leading people in the community and giving back to people in the community. To be advocates for each other, to uphold each other, and to find your tribe of people. That's a great book. I forgot who wrote that book, but Tribe. Have you read that book?
I have not read that one. It sounds good.
Yeah, I'll send that to you. Really just believe in yourself. Be your own mindset. Make your own future. You are in charge and capable of anything you put your mind to, and no one else is coming to save you.
Yes, I am the most valuable player in my life. One of my
100%.
So as we end today, please share with our audience how they can reach you if they want to reach out to you and where they can find you.
So my website is landladycallie.com. Among selling houses, I'm a land specialist, so I got that name a long time ago. I'm on Instagram, Callie Weeks, REA, Real Estate Advisor acronym, and on Facebook, Callie Weeks Real Estate Advisor, or you can just look me up, Callie Weeks, WEAKS. Phone number is 423-218-9584. And my email address is callie@tn-rea.com.